Will you pray with me now as we receive His word? Lord, I trust that You are the good sower. And would You prepare our hearts now as we hear from You? If there's anything that I say that's unbeneficial, Lord, may it be forgotten. And I ask, Lord, that Your Spirit would speak and move in ways that only You can. I thank You for Your people. I thank You for their friendship and their love for You, their love for me, and their love for one another. Lord, may You protect us from the enemy and keep us close to You. And we continue to lift our homes, our communities, our city, our country, and our world to You. We are constantly bombarded with bad news every day of the week. Lord, we know that the work of change and transformation is slow and ongoing, but we cry out to You for Your goodness, for Your victory. We cry out that Your name would be holy among Your people, and that Your Spirit would be at work to bring about shalom and peace to men's homes, to men's hearts. So, Lord, we ask for You to come. And I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable of the seeds. Those who have ears, let them hear. This past week, I got to sow seeds. Oops. Yeah. We recently began a vegetable garden in the backyard. Why not before? Well, the house next door was knocked down along with a large tree and large plant growth. Suddenly, parts of our backyard can receive sunlight. So we began working on converting a few small terraces into a vegetable garden. We started with relocating some plants. You see those bushes? We moved all those. Weeding and digging up rocks. I think I spent almost an hour just digging up huge rocks and even a few bricks. Next, we fertilized the soil with compost, and my housemates began planting seeds. Now, I went in about a week after, and I accidentally raked one of those terraces that my housemates planted. Oops. And when I did that, the workers next door asked me to work somewhere else because they were afraid that the bulldozing and grading that they were doing might cause some rocks to tumble down our garden. So I decided to sow seeds in a seed planter instead. I planted some arugula, lettuce, zucchini, and Swiss chard and placed the tray on our windowsill in the study. While planting the seeds, there was a tendril of doubt. What if the seed won't germinate? What if the conditions weren't right? What if the seeds are too old or bad somehow? They seem so tiny. Can life really come from something so small? Nevertheless, as a sower, you sow. Then comes the hard part, the waiting. 4 days later, we got the first sign of life. Tiny green tendrils of arugula managed to push through that centimeter of dirt and stretch above. A day later, the lettuce followed. I was pretty excited. Sowing seeds have given me a small idea of what a farmer would have to do. In researching for the sermon, I came across a curious painting. In 1888, Vincent van Gogh painted The Sower. The painting is of a farmer with a satchel of seeds, scattering a handful on the ground as he walks along. To sow is to cast a thin layer of seeds upon the ground. The aim, of course, is to bring about a certain result, a crop. In the background, you see a field of what looks like wheat. In the foreground, the sower walks through a plowed field, scattering seeds while birds linger close behind him. A worn, hardened path leads the viewer into the painting, slightly away from the sower. It goes towards the crop, yet stopping well short of reaching the harvest. And meanwhile, everything is illuminated by the bright setting sun. Van Gogh's painting most definitely had the parable of the sower in mind. We see the sower at work in the types of soil as described in the Gospels. But some scholars think that the parable should really be called the parable of the seeds, or parable of the soils. The subject isn't really the sower, but what happens to the seeds. Of course, parables can have multiple meanings, and there are at least two. The literal meaning of the story, and another meaning that it is pointing to. Parables are narratives or sayings designed to illustrate a truth, especially through comparison or simile. Jesus used parables all the time. About a third of his recorded teachings are in parables. It wasn't a new form, though. Jesus didn't invent the parable. The early readers of the Gospels seem to be familiar with the style. But prior to Jesus, there isn't evidence that anyone used parables as extensively or creatively as Jesus. Parables can be found in rabbinic literature, but the majority of the parables are dated after Jesus' time. It seems to suggest that Jesus was an innovator with parables, but all we really know is that he seemed to enjoy using them. The meaning of the Greek word parable, or parabole, means to throw alongside. They feature both realistic aspects of New Testament life, and they also symbolize something else. They have another level of meaning. But why speak in parables? Why not more plainly? Did Jesus speak entails in order to confound and confuse people? He seems to apply that in verses in 11 and 12. What is he saying? That God keeps certain people in the dark? On the first read, it appears that God gives the secret, the mystery of the kingdom, to his disciples, while confusing those on the outside. However, remember that this passage follows several incidences. First, his family accused him of being out of his mind back in chapter 3. Second, the teachers of the law accused him of being demon-possessed. Then Jesus responded by telling them, what a parable. Yet his family still doesn't quite understand. They stood outside, calling to Jesus, to which Jesus replied that his true family are those who are near him, near to him. Now, in chapter 4, Jesus is out of the house, and it is an open country. He was teaching from a boat because the crowds were too large. He went out onto the sea. And he taught them many parables. But Mark only highlighted one. the sower sowing seeds in four different types of soil. There was a connection between this parable and the responses that Jesus was receiving from different people. Later, alone with his disciples, Jesus explained. His disciples, who were kind of confused at this point, asked him questions, to which he replied with a quote from Isaiah 6:9-10. So in verses 11 to 12, he says to the disciples, I'm not sure if I have it on the slide. Oh, sorry. So if you could turn with me again to verses 11 to 12. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. So, why this quote from Isaiah? Well, if you spent some time in Isaiah, you know that God sent Isaiah to be his messenger to his people. But God also warned him not to expect them to pay attention to it. Go speak to them, but they won't listen. In fact, the effect of your preaching will be their persistent refusal to accept what you say, even to the point where they make themselves unable to accept it. Isaiah's experience was now being repeated in Jesus' ministry. If we have trouble with the words so that, as in everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding, it is because it comes from a Hebrew tendency to express consequences as though it were a purpose. Like how God hardened Pharaoh's heart towards Moses and his warnings. Actually, this is quite a human tendency, particularly when we see bad outcomes. We want to explain it as though God intended it. In this case, it is a hard saying. Does God keep people from understanding by speaking in riddles? Or is this a way of just stating the obvious? God speaks, but not everyone will listen. People will hear, but not all will truly understand. Not everyone is even capable of hearing. In other words, the message of God goes out to many people, but its reception will be varied. The four kinds of soil represents the different conditions of the heart. The hard path, the rocky soil, the weed-infested soil, and the good soil. Therefore, the disciples can expect resistance and seeming failure. The church can expect resistance and failure. After all, we have gone through all these conditions ourselves and in our own hearts. But more on that later. The truth is, if God doesn't want people to understand or to know him, he would not bother at all. Why waste the seed? Keep the light under the covers. Yet God speaks, and he spoke in parables. And I'm going to suggest three reasons why. First, parables invites us to ask questions. The illusions, similes, and metaphors are not always clear. Who is the sower? What is the seed? What does the soil signify? The disciples asked Jesus questions, and Jesus provided explanations. Otherwise, we would not have the New Testament writings. for people to ask questions show that they've been listening. They're attentive enough to ask. And even if they're confused, they show that they're seeking understanding or clarification. Parables were mysterious enough to raise eyebrows or generate discussion, which leads to a second reason for the use of parables. Parables invites us to think. Parables demand an interpretation. They're not just stories for our entertainment or our amusement, but the means for us to see another reality, like a painting or a work of art. On a first hearing, we're left to wrestle with the story, to ponder its significance and what it is actually pointing to. What is the problem exactly? What is the point of the story? In other words, why is Jesus telling this particular parable at this particular time? And why did Mark record it? Third, parables invites a response. Jesus could have taught as though in a classical classroom. He could have lectured and gave a list of principles or formulated doctrines. But Jesus taught in a way that invites people to interact and to dialogue. And I think these parables were short, memorable, and simple enough that people can take them and discuss them with each other and with the disciples. Their simplicity in structure and complexity in meaning draws attention. They draw us to consider the implications and then to respond. In summary, parables invites us to question, to think, and to respond. The very nature of being indirect is what invites us to participate. They hide in order to reveal. Jesus taught in parables to draw attention, to elicit hearing, and to call for an obedient response, even though some would respond with hardness of heart and lack of hearing. So, the parable of the sower, seeds, and soil. The key, I suggest, is when Jesus said, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." And here's the beauty of this parable. You've just heard it. We've read it together. How have you received it? How have you responded? How will you respond? We are confronted with the truth that good conditions are needed to respond well to the Word of God. What is good soil? Soil that is loose and not packed hard. Soil that is moist and rich with nutrients. Soil that is without rocks and weeds that will inhibit or compete with growth. This is good soil. This is where our hearts need to be in order to listen well to God, for His Word to actually take root in our lives and produce good and plentiful fruit. I want to ask that you now discuss with one another, what makes a bad listener? What makes a good listener? And so think of when you talk with one another, what are signs of bad listening and what are signs of good listening? And then also think, if you have time, and discuss, how will this imply or how does this impact our listening to God? What would be good listening and bad listening to God? So if you can turn to your neighbor in groups of three or four, preferably not with people you already know. try to cross paths, introduce yourselves, and we'll take some time to talk about that. How this impacts our relationship with God. How do we listen to God and all that? And in wisdom and awareness, it's probably a thing that we're all learning and we're all striving to do. And actually our community, our church, works really hard at doing. We try to cultivate that in our spirituality. If you notice, you know, this is what Ted's been cultivating over the last few years, which I'm learning to do. Try to encourage all of us to be aware of yourself. Be aware of your heart, where you're at. And start listening to yourself and therefore listening to God. And that's what was mentioned before, like when you're aware of yourself, aware of your emotions, that will open up to hearing others and hearing others well. Pressed that by accident. So the reality is, our hearts are not stagnant. Usually we go through different stages or different seasons of digging, plowing, weeding, and harvest. And sometimes our hearts have been scorched by fire, drought, and or frozen over. Sometimes others have trodden on our hearts and have packed it hard and dry. Right here in this room, we have soils of every kind. And God sows his word in every condition, consistently and repeatedly, as long as we allow him. He is the sower and does what he must do. The word I want to leave with you, and the one that has been brought up recently at Regent's Convocation, is cultivate. To cultivate your heart means to prepare and to do what you can to promote life. You have been given the gift and the responsibility to care not only for your physical health, but your spiritual health as well. And if you live long enough, you realize that relational health takes work, a heck of a lot of work. I can say that word, right? Love and trust between people needs cultivating. Otherwise, it will wither and dies when the storms come or the pestilence comes. Your relationship with God needs cultivating. As in conversations with people, we all need to learn how to listen well. No matter how long we've been walking with God, we need to learn how to listen well. It means spending time in prayer and devotion. It means practicing disciplines, but also delighting in God. I know this is hard to do between work, family, and leisure, but are you making the time to dialogue, to speak with God? Are you taking Sabbath? Are you taking the time to care for your soul health? Are you making decisions that will create space in your life for the Spirit to speak to you? How can we help create space for each other? Cultivating also means allowing God to reveal our condition to us and showing where the work needs to be done. Sometimes we need another set of eyes, other than our own, to observe and point out the hard patches. Most of the time, I think, it's us learning how to be vulnerable with God, to allow Him to see all who we are, and trusting in His love for us. And as ministers of God's Word, as His disciples, we can expect resistance and lack of growth. But time will prove the condition of our hearts. Changes come slowly and sometimes unknowingly. But good fruit or crop, it will come and it will be beyond what we expected. And it will make the effort worthwhile. After all, God's seed, through those sown in all conditions, is designed and meant for growth. It is meant to bring life and life abundant. Would you pray with me now as we practice listening to God? Lord, we want to hear from you. Lord, would you teach us to hear you? And so even right now, help us to be aware of our bodies, our breath. Help us to be aware of how we are positioned before you. Help us to be aware of distracting thoughts. What is consuming us right now? And Lord, would you show us where the work needs to be done in our hearts? Where are the areas where we feel death and lack of growth? Would you walk with us, hold our hand as we see these areas. And I pray, Lord, for your love and your grace to pour in. And Lord, would your Spirit speak to us and reveal the deep love of God so that we can reveal our true selves to you. And also to begin to reveal ourselves to each other. And I think some of us need to hear those words from God and the words from Jesus that who said these words repeatedly. Do not be afraid. And Lord, we confess that we often come to you with our own agendas, with our own ideas of what is the work that needs to be done. We come to you with preconceived notions of what you will say to us. We ask for your forgiveness in this. Instead, now we ask that you be God. So will you speak to us, Lord, what you want to say? And Lord, I trust that your Spirit has been speaking and will speak. And will you help us to respond? Help us to begin the work of cultivating, of turning over soil, of planting seeds. Help us to be receptive to your rain and your sunshine. And Lord, I pray that your word would take root in our hearts. Will you give us the patience to see transformation and growth? Help us to see transformation in our own hearts. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.